Good to be back. Yes, Kevin asked me earlier in the week if I was planning to reference the election in the message I had today, and I didn't feel like grasping that nettle. It's a very divisive subject, isn't it? The issues and the personalities involved, and I do pray that each of us is to bring, able to bring peace and wisdom where there is conflict and disunity. Coming in today, I noticed your lovely present on the wall there. Isn't that a great idea, that to wrap that present to remind us of the real reason for Christmas? And of course, we've got the candles. And I don't know if you do the candles at home or if you light your put up lights around the house, if you've got snowmen on the outside of your house and Santa's sleigh landing on the roof and everything. It's a time of year when we like to make lights and candles and decorations. And isn't it funny that in the midst of everyone talking about climate crisis, I haven't heard a single person suggest that maybe it would be good not to have lights this Christmas in order so that we don't burn fossil fuel. And I thought, isn't that fascinating? Everything else is absolutely taboo, but Christmas lights are exempt. We value this, and it's an unspoken community agreement that this is something we are going to keep going because it's important. And obviously, we do understand the religious significance, but I think even if you're not a religious person, at this time of year, when a lot of the time it's cold and it's gloomy and it gets dark early and it gets light late, and if you're at most people, you sometimes hardly see the sun, do you? Because even on days like today when the sun is shining, you know, you're up and on your way to work before the sun's gone up, and by the time you leave work, it's dark again. And that has an impact on our spirit, doesn't it? It's not only on our bodies, and some people suffer from seasonal affective disorder and struggle physically with the lack of light, and some of us have problems generating sufficient vitamin D in our bodies because there's a lack of sunlight. But it affects us emotionally, on the inside, when it's dark and gloomy. And I think part of this is just all across Europe, there's an agreement we need to cheer ourselves up a bit in the middle of the year, don't we? And it's just dark. And let's put some light on. And we're miserable. Let's have a party. And so Christmas fits very nicely into that model of cheering ourselves up halfway through winter. But of course, it's always had that spiritual aspect to it as well. You know, ancestors in these islands, the pagans, used to think that the reason it was getting darker and colder was because the sun was dying. And the sun needed a blood transfusion, as it were. And they lit big bonfires in the middle of winter to try and give some energy back to the sun. And of course it worked, didn't it? Because every year after that, the sun started to get a bit stronger. So they're like, oh, this is good. It's obviously worth lighting fires in the middle of Christmas. And it became a big tradition to have big log fires throughout the winter to keep the sun strong. And so you see things like this happening, where our need for light and encouragement coincides with our spiritual activity. The Jews have a similar sort of festival, which isn't quite perhaps as remote to us as the pagan bonfire lighting, but they have a festival which often coincides with Christmas called Hanukkah. I don't know how many of you know about Hanukkah. Its nickname is the Festival of Lights, but it's also called the Festival of Dedication. And what had happened was, about 150 years before Christmas, there had been an emperor, not a Roman emperor, a different emperor, who'd oppressed the Jewish people very significantly and had profaned their temple and made it impossible for them to carry out worship because he'd done things like sacrificing pigs on the altar so that the altar was unclean and various things like that. And so there was an uprising. You might well have heard of Judas Maccabeus. Handel wrote an opera about him. I've never heard it, but it's got one good chorus in it, I know. And that actually became a hymn, didn't it? Thine be the glory, isn't it? Isn't that from Judas Maccabeus? Judas led a rebellion, and they pushed the emperor's forces out, and to a large extent regained their freedom. But the temple was still defiled, and there were lots of rituals to clean the temple, and so that they could start worshipping again. And they wanted to light the holy lamps in the holy place that kept the light going in the presence of the Lord, and was symbols. As you will find in some Catholic and Orthodox and Anglican churches today, there is a light kept continually burning as a symbol of God's presence. And they found the oil, and they realized they'd only got one day's oil left. So they started to make some more oil. But because it was a very complex process to produce this very special oil and mix the spices that went in with it, it took 8 days. So they started, but they were going to, what are we going to do tomorrow when the lamp goes out for lack of oil? And it didn't. And the next day it didn't. And the next day. And miraculously the oil lasted for 8 days until the new oil was ready to be used. And so every year after that they held a festival. And it wasn't like one of the three big biblical festivals that everybody was legally required to go to, but they held this feast of dedication. And they still hold it today. It's Hanukkah. It remembers that miracle. And they use the candlestick with the 9 branches, not the normal 7 that they normally use. They've got a special one for this time of year. And one represents the light of the original lamp, and the other 8 candles represent the 8 days for which that lamp kept burning. And they've kept this ever since that time. So it's a really old tradition. And Jesus went to that festival. You might not think about that, but actually John writes in John chapter 10, he says it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the colonnade of Solomon, which is part of the temple, and the feast of dedication was taking place. So Jesus was at that festival. Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. We've got the evidence for it given to us by John. And that's significant because one of the things that Hanukkah had adopted by the time of Jesus, it was a festival of light. And they didn't just have this one 8-branched candle. They had massive lamps everywhere. They really wanted to brighten up the temple complex, and they had it floodlit, can you believe? The temple mound, they put this huge candelabra on each corner of it with hundreds of lamps in it so that the lamp lighted the whole temple and the streets around. And you can imagine in the darkness what that must have felt like. And believe it or not, I checked sunset time in Jerusalem just to make sure, it's 4:30. So actually they were all getting fed up with it getting dark early, just like we are, and they had this brilliant floodlit temple complex all done by oil and lamp. And in the middle of this, Jesus says to his followers, I am the light of the world. He says it at that festival. It's recorded in John chapter 8. And Jesus appears to have been for the whole of the autumn in Jerusalem. He started off in this one passage. It's not recorded anywhere that he left Jerusalem or the vicinity of Jerusalem. Right the way through from John chapter 8 through John chapter 10. And so they're all celebrating the light. And he says, I am the light of the world. Not all these candles, not these special candelabra, not the stuff that you put out at Christmas on the Christmas tree. I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And when he says these great sayings in John's Gospel, I am, I'm sure you're aware that throughout John's Gospel there are things Jesus says about himself. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. There is a very subtle inference of his divinity in there. Because the words I am, although they can be used as innocently as they are in the way that we use them, they also reference the name of God. As you find in Exodus chapter 3, where it's translated, I am who I am, and it's quite hard to put your finger on exactly what God means when he says, I am who I am, in some respects. But actually, I am. It's very much part of it. So Jesus is almost saying, I'm the light of the world. But he's equating himself to God being light of the world in the same way. It's one of Jesus' claims to divinity, which were very clear to the people who he was talking to, although a little bit more subtle to us. But John, who wrote this book, picked up on it. John's Gospel has several references to light in it. And his letters do as well. He wrote three letters towards the end of his life. And they include the statement, God is light. Now, expressions like that don't appear terribly often in the Bible. In fact, there are only, as far as I can recall, five of them. God is love, God is light, God is spirit, all of those used by John. God is a consuming fire, which the writer of the Hebrews uses. And of course the ones that the shepherds proclaimed, well, the angels proclaimed to the shepherds. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So it's very significant, this light motif in John. You will recall there were other expressions that John used. So for example, at this time of year we read John's Gospel as the culmination of the Lessons and Carols service. And that has it in there. In him was life, and the life was the light of humanity. And there are other references to light that we've adopted into our Christmas story, aren't there? There's the star, for goodness sake. How much light is that that brought these people from Persia or possibly even China to come and worship Jesus because they'd seen a star? We're told that the glory shone all around the angels as they revealed themselves to the shepherds. We quote Isaiah's prophecy, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Is Jesus referencing that in this verse in John where he says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness? And light, of course, has a number of different ways in which we can understand it. There's the very practical way in which we've got sunlight and lights on and I can walk to the door without bumping into the chairs because I can see where they are. That's the use of light. There's light in the sense of understanding. We can talk about, oh gosh, yes, I've just had a light bulb moment. Or there's light in the sense of wisdom. I've seen the light. In other words, I've had a change of heart, change of attitude. And of course, there's light as moral purity. When Jesus says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will walk in the light of life, he could be meaning our behavior is moral because we are following Jesus. So there are a number of ways in which we can interpret this light. But the significance of this whole title that Jesus claims for himself, I am the light of the world, is that it's one of his messianic titles that he shares with us. Because in Matthew, when he's teaching the Sermon on the Mount, what does he say to his followers? You are the light of the world. What an incredible privilege to share a title of Jesus. Nowhere are we told that we are the Prince of Peace. We are the bread of life. We are the vine. Those are names reserved strictly for Jesus. But we are the light of the world. How awesome is that? And on top of that, in two other occasions, we are referred to as children of the light. So this light is a family characteristic. God is light. Jesus is light. We are light because we are children of the light. It's not in some Buddhist sense that a little piece of the divine spark comes and lives in us and gradually grows bigger while we grow less. It's different to that. The light is inherent in us. It's intrinsic to us as children of God. We are in the light. We are light. The light that we emit to the world around us is not merely the reflected light of having bathed ourselves in the presence of God. It is the light that we emit by our own nature as children of God. Light that we bring into our families and workplaces and schools and relationships and business. Because Jesus goes on as he says, you are the light. And of course, we understand that every time we get that word you, we have this dilemma in English. Is he talking about me or is he talking about us? Because it's not always clear, is it? And I have a feeling that with our individualistic Western philosophy, most of us think, oh, I am the light of the world. Whereas the early church would be far more likely to think, we are the light of the world. It's not merely me, it's us together as we represent Jesus to our surroundings. And Jesus goes on in Matthew to say, let your light shine before people so that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, this is how God's glory is spread. Because we do good things. People see the good things and go, those people must be different. They're Christians. And they'll want to know more. That's the logic of our engagement with the wider community, which we do so well in this church through our different outreaches and our presence in the community and the practical ways in which we serve the community. Those are there because they're an expression of the light that is in us as we bring that light to other people so that they can see and glorify Jesus. But they don't necessarily see that light unless we show it to them. It's not that we look like little ready-brick kids with a little glow all around us. Some of you are smiling, you remember it. I don't know if they still do those adverts, but there was also like little red glow around them as they shone. We're not like that. Most of us do not physically look any different to people who are not Christians. There are very rarely a few people that you can look at and go, gosh, I can see Jesus in them. Most of us look perfectly normal to those outside of our community. And we reveal the difference through how we behave and how we treat people and how we act and what we say. But sometimes our light is obscured by the clouds in our lives. Rather like the sun is always shining, whatever the weather. But sometimes we can't see it because the clouds get in the way. We are always children of light. We are always shining. But sometimes the clouds get in the way and people can't see the light. Sometimes it's the clouds of our impatience or our anger, resentment, fear, hatred, bitterness, selfishness, unkindness. And those are the clouds that stop people seeing the light. And at this time of year, particularly when it is so stressful, as you said, there are so many extra things we've got to do on top of our normal responsibilities. We've got to be at Christian parties and be nice and Christmas parties and be nice and joyful with people that we don't like. Yeah, don't like Christian parties. No fun at all, those ones. We've got to write hundreds of Christmas cards. We've got to get presents. We've got to prepare food and do all the shopping on top of everything else that we normally do. We've got to put up with overexcited children. We've got other family members with unrealistic expectations. And all of this needs to be managed, and this is the time when we're all stressed. Is that why Jesus died for us? No, this is the time when we're celebrating. And yet somehow so much effort goes into the celebration that the clouds appear and obscure the light. And our task, saints, at this time of year is to let that light see by us going the extra mile, by us giving over and above, by us forgiving rapidly and generously, by us giving, by us being generous, by us exercising extreme patience. Because that is how our light shines through. And people look at us and say, hey, those people really are different, aren't they? And so I encourage you at this time to focus on the light and not the clouds. The clouds represent those sins of the flesh that surround us and a part of our human nature that we are trying so hard to shed. And we must invite the Holy Spirit into our life and blow those clouds away so that we shine. Because, friends, no matter how gloomy and dismal it gets around us, John wrote at the beginning of his gospel, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. No matter how dark it gets, darkness cannot put light out. One tiny little match in the darkness can be seen 10 miles away by the human eye. And it's not darkness that puts it out. The darkness has no power over the light. And the light is in us. The light is us. Let us not let that light be extinguished, nor our witness weakened by what is going on around us. So as we bring it to the end, will you join me in prayer for ourselves as well as the world around us? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are indeed light of the world. We thank you for coming into the darkness at this time of year and bringing that light into our lives so that we too, born again of the Spirit of God, share with you that identity of being light in this world. And we confess to you, Lord Jesus, that quite often we don't let that light shine. Quite often we allow our circumstances and our human nature to get on top of us, and we are more like a cloudy winter's day than a sunny summer day. And we invite you, Lord Jesus, to send your Holy Spirit into our lives to transform us, to take away those sins that are clouds on the surface of our sunshiny lives, and to help us blow them out, blow them away, so that our sunshine shines brightly into the lives of those around us who do not yet know you. We give ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, this Christmas as our present back to you, our lives laid at your feet, at your manger, in worship, that we may be truly light to the world, as a witness and as an encouragement to others. We invite you to shine ever more brightly through us, that the world will be illuminated by you and us working in harmony together. John wrote, Lord, that coming into the world you bring light to the whole of humanity, and yet humanity does not see that light, because they haven't seen it in us. And we pray that this Christmas and from now on we would be different, and we would reveal the light of the world to those people who still walk in darkness. Amen.